thought about this lesson before we left for a couple of weeks. It had to do with the last chapter of the book of Esther in our Sunday morning Bible class, and where Mordecai suggested that they have a feast of Purim in celebration of God's deliverance of his people from Haman's wicked plan of destruction. And so I thought about that, and it just happened to a few conversations I've had with some other people about traditions and just opinions or likes and dislikes. Even a lady I talked with, a relative of my daughter-in-law, and she went to a congregation, and I said, why did you attend there? And she started giving me, oh, because they have all this program, and they do this, and they do that. Never mentioned about the worship assembly, only about the programs. And I thought, well, there's an opinion or a situation. So, Chris, I'm not trying to step on your toes, and yes, I am stepping on your toes. I'm going to do Romans chapter 14. And I can't wait to hear what you have to say about this. I'm just going to introduce the lesson tonight. In Romans 14, beginning of verse 1, receive one who is weak in the faith. Interesting start. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. Doubtful things? For one believes he may eat all things. One who is weak eats only vegetables. And I'll take you through verse by verse a little bit later. This cartoon. In the first box, it's Linus Peanuts. He says, I have a theological question. When you die and go to heaven, are you graded on a percentage or a curve? The other one, Peanut, says, well, on a curve, naturally. The other one said, well, how can you be so sure? He says, I'm always sure about things that are a matter of opinion. Sure. Things are matters of opinion. So I'm going to talk about some opinions. In Romans chapter 14, Paul addresses three particular issues. The meat eater, and then the one that eats vegetables only. And people say, which one's right? And Paul's going to say both. Receive each other. The other one is observing days, how they observe days. The third one is eating meat that's left over from idol use. Is it okay to eat that meat? No. Opinions. People, even today, we have our own ideas of what is right or what is wrong. And I saw one person mentioned about, Brian asked me about smoking. And not really me, but it was another preacher, but I can make it personal. They asked, said, Brian, will smoking keep you out of heaven? Well, I don't know, but I know it'll get you there quicker. But we always have opinions. I remember I didn't know about the one opinion until I went to Harding University. I was from, lived in Michigan all those years, 20 years. And our young people, we always had beach parties. Muskegon, Michigan was right on Lake Michigan and a few other area lakes. We always had beach parties with the young people. And then I went to Harding University and they said, oh, you can't have mixed bathing. They called it bathing. I said, bathing? I assume they meant mixed swimming. But that was a no-no down there in that particular section. I thought, well, it was okay in Muskegon, but not in Searcy. Wow. So there was an opinion. There was a strong one, too. So there are a lot of different issues that come up. Here are some other verses, not just in Romans 14, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4. Therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world and that there is no other God but one. Concerning the eating of things offered to idols, well, became a problem. In the same chapter, 1 Corinthians 8, verse 8. But food does not commend us to God. For neither if we eat are we the better, nor if we do not eat are we the worse. But he gives a warning. Beware lest somehow this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to those who are weak. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23, all things are lawful to me. Everything, all things are lawful to me. But not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, he says it twice. But not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. So concerning the things that we eat and drink, Jesus said it this way. In Matthew 7, verse 18, Jesus said to them, are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from without cannot defile him? Because it does not enter the heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods. Paul's going to address this. I'm a vegetarian. Well, I'm a meat eater. I'm glad we don't put it in our sign out there. the Church of Christ meets here. Some will put underneath their sign, if you travel to, especially the South, a non-instrumental group. Or I'm glad we don't put out there Church of Christ meat eaters. Or maybe Church of Christ vegetarian only. Something like that. Opinions. Remember the vision that came to Peter when he goes to the house of Cornelius. The vision of Peter included animals. And in Acts 10, verse 13, a voice came to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Peter said, not so, Lord. I've never eaten anything common or unclean. The voice spoke to him a second time. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. This was done three times. Then the object was taken up into heaven again. So he had this food vision used to show to Peter that the Gentiles are not unclean. It's okay to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Then in Romans chapter 14, a verse we'll get to. Romans verse 17. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Then on in chapters 8, 9, and 10 of 1 Corinthians, there was the issue was meat that was sacrificed to idols. And some would say it could be eaten, but because of opinions, certain principles had to be observed. Are we going to eat the meat that's been offered to idols or not? Is it okay? In 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning of verse 1, Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some would depart from the faith, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods or meats, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good. Nothing is to be refused. Well, maybe some bugs. I'm sure everything's okay, but there's certain things I don't want to eat either. if it to be received with thanksgiving, for it's sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So Paul is going to address an issue in Romans chapter 14 about the meat eaters and the non-meat eaters. And he opens up those verses in verse 1, receive the one who is weak in the faith. But not to disputes over doubtful things. In other words, not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinion. It says receive. You know, the concept of fellowship, acceptance. Here's the one that Paul says expressly. He's weak in the faith. Now, we're not talking about doctrine. I hope I better settle that. We're only talking about those matters of opinion. The book, God has authorized meat, and he's authorized the vegetarians. So he eat one or the other. So Paul said, what are we going to do about these two opposing views? So again, with all my discussion, don't think doctrine. That's the wrong conclusion. We're talking about things that are matters of opinion. You know, the person's weakness, Paul's, you know, might be the result of a misunderstanding, could be confused about a Bible teaching, could have a bias that he grew up with. You just can't leave it, or it could be some other motivation. And then Paul also addresses the strong in this chapter too. There's an obligation for all of us to receive one another. I thought about this, I'm going to give you an illustration. I'm just going to read this and I'll close. I'm going to go through verse by verse. This goes back to 2016. Does the number of cups in the Lord's Supper matter? To some it does. Obviously, there's a matter of opinion, isn't there?
As long as it's more than one.
But here's the article from the Christian Chronicle from 2016. Brett Hickey preaches for a church that finds unity in one loaf and one cup. Hickey began his career in 1992 with the Cross Street Church of Christ in Mountain Home, Arkansas, part of the fellowship often referred to as the One Cuppers. The most recent volume in the Directory of Churches of Christ in the United States, published by 21st Century Christian, lists 553 one-cup congregations with a total membership of 18,929. Most do not have separate Bible classes. They partake of the Lord's Supper from an undivided loaf of unleavened bread and one cup. Then in the article, the interviewer says to the one-cupper person, please explain the reasons for using only one cup in the Lord's Supper. So you want to know the reasons, don't you? So we only use one cup in the Lord's Supper to preserve this divine ordinance just as it was delivered. Jesus took the cup. Second rationale, because the scriptural precedent for how to observe the Lord's Supper with one cup and one loaf and one cup is as weighty as it is for when we observe it on the first day of the week, as we read in Acts 20, verse 7. The scriptures regarding how to partake of the Lord's Supper are even more emphatic. Do this. Another reason he gives, we have one cup, because Jesus' instructions on how to divide or share the cup in Luke 22, verse 17, authorizes only one cup. Luke 22, verse 17 says, drink from it, all of you. But another translation is, divide it among yourselves. So how did they divide that one cup? They had some other cups on the table. Poured in that cup. But he doesn't take that one. The last one, because the cup containing the fruit of the vine has spiritual significance. Well, yes, it does. And then the next question they ask, people often ask about the health risk of using one cup. What about that? Yeah. So, Brother Hickey says, it's an important question because it's the reason denominational leaders initiated the individual communion service in the 1890s and why some churches of Christ follow their lead about 20 years later. So they say, we started using individual cups about the turn of the century. It says, by faith, we obey the Lord regardless of the consequences. Health risk? What about the health risk? Well, we regard the Lord's, we obey the Lord regardless of the consequences. Just as we do not test the legitimacy of Jesus' command to visit the sick by weighing the potential health risk, we do not consider health risk a relevant problem in obeying Jesus' command for the assembled to share the cup. Scientific studies vindicate the propriety of Jesus' command. A Journal of Hygiene article reports a study commissioned by the Central Public Health Laboratory in London on the transmission of infection via the common communion cup. The conclusion was that the risk of disease transmission, quote, is very small and probably much smaller than that of contracting infection by other methods in any gathering of people. So that's the rationale. He says also, we find no biblical authority for segregated Bible classes. When the early church assembled, they came together in one place. So that's his opinion. We don't separate the Bible classes. He says, fathers, not the church, are responsible for bringing their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And the last one, they ask, do One Cup congregations consider themselves to be in fellowship with other churches of Christ? All right, Brother Hickey says, we see this departure from the New Testament in the same light as many multi-cup congregations view those who have introduced instruments of music into their worship services, and so do not consider them to be in fellowship with us. Can there be any unity among One Cup and multi-cup churches? Division, Brother Hickey says, division in the body of Christ pains us. We deeply desire unity with all of our brothers and sisters, but truth comes before unity. We cannot have true unity with congregations that use instrumental music or individual cups in their worship services. So the One Cup congregation would not fellowship us. I would fellowship them. They just have a different opinion about how many cups. Brother Walker, we got time for the gems. We one more thing. Then I'll do the text next week. Just kind of interesting. I thought you might be interested in the One Cup congregations. I've got a folder on this too. This is not. But Calvin Warpola answered that article in the Christian Chronicle. I'll just read part of it. He says, the cup that is drunk in his, meaning God, Jesus' memory, is the contents, not the container, because we cannot drink the container. So we drink the cup, yeah, which is the fruit of the vine inside the container. When Jesus took, in the quote, a cup of wine, he said, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. And the verse continues, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. He gives the wine theological significance, no significance to the metal or stoneware container. The cup of blessing is not the container, but the contents that represent participation in the blood of Christ. Jesus said about the contents of one of the containers at the table, divide it among yourselves, Luke 22, verse 17. Individual cups are a way of dividing the contents and doing what Jesus said. Whether the contents are divided by everyone sipping from one large container or everyone sipping from small individual cups, the contents and their meaning are still the same. And God does not specify a way to do what he commands. We're free to use whatever method fulfills the command, unless it opposes some other scripture. So that's his Brother Walker's answer to the One Cup article. If I attended a One Cup congregation, I'd sit up front. I want to be the first. What if that cup gets to the back and there's more contents than we started out with?
That's your husband.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, we could have went without that.
Just curious. I thought that when we come to differences of opinions, whether it's meat or vegetarian or how do you celebrate holidays? Some people make it very religiously. And so Paul's going to address with these illustrations the meat versus the vegetarian, observing of days, and then eating the meat that's been left over from the idols. Is that okay to eat that meat? We'll answer that next week. All right. I know at the close of this lesson wasn't necessarily a lesson on salvation, but introducing a subject matter of opinions, traditions, versus what the Word of God says. So I'll give you, next week I'll start giving you 10 principles that are found in Romans chapter 14 on how we are to treat those who differ from us in matters of opinion. And all 10 are found in the text in Romans chapter 14. I'll give you 10 verses that Paul uses in that chapter. So, Chris, I'll give you notes too.
I'll take it.
All right. We're gonna sing a song of encouragement, as we always do. Maybe as not a member of the New Testament Church, but there's always an invitation for prayer requests, things like that. If there's something that needs to be said at the close of a song, I use different words for this song, not just an invitation song, but a song of encouragement or song of exhortation, meaning the words of the song are designed to move us to a particular course of action. So if that's your desire, if that's your resolve, just let it be known at the close of this song. So let's stand together and we'll sing the song for us.